Good morning, everyone. Last night I had a meditation in which I got quiet and experienced the presence of the living God. I felt it move over me and through me, even as it is now. And I realized that I was dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. And why is that important? It is important because 10,000 shall fall at thy left hand and 1,000 at thy right, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling place if and only if thy dwelling place is the secret place of the Most High. All of the catastrophes we witness on the news, all of man's inhumanity to man, all of the plagues and sicknesses and epidemics, these things will not come nigh your dwelling place if you dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And where is that place? I was reviewing part of my book, Conscious Awareness, The Invisible Kingdom, and I was looking at that statement, the secret place of the Most High. And Microsoft Word popped up a tag that said, when I clicked on it, would I like driving directions to the secret place? Would I like a map? And I thought that was kind of humorous. Driving directions to the secret place of the Most High. That would be interesting. But then I started to think, maybe that's not so humorous. Maybe there are many people that do not know the directions and how to get to the secret place of the Most High. And so this talk is going to be a map. How to locate and arrive at the secret place of the Most High. Because it's only in that secret place that the presence of God is felt, is realized, made real. We start off with someone telling us that there really is a secret place of the Most High. Perhaps we see a road sign by reading about it in a book or hearing it on a talk. And so we determine we are going to find this secret place. We start down this road only to realize we've hit a dead end. We start down another road and it loops back on itself and we are at the beginning again. There just doesn't seem to be an accurate map. There doesn't seem to be clear-cut directions. Well, let us see, with the grace of God, if we can have those directions today. Once we know that there really is a secret place of the Most High, or at least we believe it, One of the roads that we start down is the road of intellectually understanding. And this road, we're able to discuss the secret place of the Most High, and we are able to quote references and perhaps even the Bible reference, find it in Scripture, and we are able to have dialogue about that secret place of the Most High. But we find out sooner or later that all of the traveling we do along that road does not in fact lead to the secret place of the Most High. And so we reach a place where we abandon that road altogether. No amount of intellectual understanding will get me there. And we search around for a different road. Now maybe we try making affirmations about the secret place of the Most High. And so we say to ourselves, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. God's presence is in the secret place of the Most High. And maybe we affirm that all day and all night. Yet, here comes one of those plagues, and it sweeps into our house and at our very feet, and we succumb to it. When we recover from our illness, we realize we have not found the road yet to the secret place of the Most High, and that avenue was again a wrong one. And so intellectual understanding and affirmations are the wrong roads. Following them, we do not find that secret place of the Most High. Once again, we redouble our efforts and perhaps read a little more, meditate a little longer, contemplate, and we decide to try a different road. We decide that the secret place of the Most High is not located in time or space. It is not in our thoughts, our intellect. It is not in our understanding. It is not in the words in a book. It is not in the words that we affirm. It's not in any of those. It's not down any of those roads. Maybe we even give up of ever finding it. And that is actually not so bad a thing. That's actually maybe the moment of silence that we've been looking for. There's only one road through this maze to the secret place of the Most High. And that road is the road of silence. I read a quote today that said, "The only form of prayer acceptable to God is absolute silence." Silence is the avenue, the direct avenue toward the secret place of the Most High. And now we sit down to contemplate, and we come to the end of our words and our thoughts and our affirmations. And we are left with a stillness, with a silence. And when we enter the silence, we suddenly become aware as a presence announces itself, almost as if it says, I have been waiting down through the ages for you to find the road, the avenue of silence. Now, let me reveal myself to you. Here in the silence, in the stillness, you have found the secret place of the Most High. And in this secret place, there is a presence, and there is an awareness of that presence, and there is a movement, a spiritual quickening. We feel something. In the beginning, it may be only for a split second, and we wonder, did we touch that center, that secret place of the presence? We come back again to our meditation, and next time perhaps it lasts a little longer. We are starting to realize that the kingdom of heaven, that secret place of the Most High, is within our very own being, here at the center of our being. We are starting to realize that true prayer is the silence. We are starting to know that in the silence, the I that is Christ, the I that is God, makes itself known to our awareness. Now we begin to see results in our day-to-day affairs. Perhaps we don't run for a human solution to a problem when it crops up. Now there's an announcement on national television about unemployment averages and the downturn in the general economy. And rather than immediately affirming something, we leave that outside the temple. We come within, and through whatever method works for us, we enter the silence of our being. Feeling that stirring within, we know that God is on the field. We know that God is, and God is ising, because we feel it. And when we once again go about our daily affairs, we find that our supply is somehow almost magically increased. We call to mind the scripture that I am come that they might have life, and life more abundantly. And we realize now that that I is the presence we are feeling in the secret place of the Most High. Perhaps we go to the office, and we go to the grocery store, and we see that there seems to be almost an epidemic of the flu in our neighborhood. Everyone is turning up with it. Rather than going and stocking up on vitamin C and all of the things we might do in a human measure, we say, maybe there's something to this secret place. I'm going to travel the road of silence. And so we leave it outside the temple. We close down the senses and we listen. We become silent. And I cannot tell you enough. It is this silence into which God breathes itself. And here in the silence, we feel that presence moving through our being. We don't really know much more than that, but that is sufficient. For he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, none of these things shall come nigh thy dwelling place. And when we look, we are wondrous. We marvel at the mystical escape that has happened to us, because although our neighbor living down the street contracted the flu, and although some of the people on the job did, somehow it passed over our house and did not come nigh our dwelling place. Well, this is working, isn't it? So now we may have a difficulty with someone in our family, someone that's not living up to these principles, someone that's immersed in their humanhood and has no interest in spiritual matters. And so we want to use psychology. We want to tell them why this is a better idea. We want to get them to admit their wrongs, or perhaps just see where they're at fault. That's the human way and the human nature of things. But we have found and are finding the secret place of the Most High, and so we determine we're not going to do that this time. However tempting it is, we're going to leave them alone. Leave them outside of our temple. Once again, we travel the road of silence. And here in the silence, God announces itself. I know it because I feel it. It is a transcendental presence. And in the silence, it floods my being. It floods my being to the point where there is nothing to do but say, "Oh, thank you, Father. Thy grace is my sufficiency." And rest. An hour or two later, or perhaps a day or two later, I realize, hey, there hasn't been any agreement, any disagreements at all with this person. Somehow, harmony has come into our lives, and we've found a common union, a communion with one another. And whether that person has changed and become more gentle in their nature, or whether we have become more accepting in ours, really doesn't matter. The point is that he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High does not have these problems coming by their dwelling place. Now we are beginning to see that the answer to everything, yes, everything, is dwelling consciously in the secret place of the Most High. Having the conscious awareness of the presence of God. And that is exactly what having that mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, is. Once we have found the secret place of the Most High, we return again and again. We can't help it. We know now that this is the answer to all of life's problems, that everything that is appearing as a problem is solved not by working on the problem. You cannot meet a problem on the level of the problem. It is solved by traveling the road of silence to that secret place of the Most High. And in that secret place, in that inner temple, allowing God to be God, allowing God to be what it is. Everything is met that way. When God moves in that inner temple, God speaks and the earth melts. Now we find something else. We find that most of our problems have been met, or have diminished to the point where we have a harmonious life. And perhaps we are content with that. We rest there on the side of that road of silence and are content to enter the temple from time to time. Yet, there is more. Oh, so much more. Eventually, we enter that temple, the secret place of the Most High, and we discover that presence we have been calling God, that presence that floods our being, we make the marvelous discovery that that presence is our presence. That presence is our true identity. That presence is the I that I am. And that presence is the truth of who we are. What a fantastic discovery that is. And it is that point, exactly that point, that we must decide if we would go further into the inner chambers of that temple, or stand pat where we are and be content with harmonious human living. If we decide to go further, there will be much demanded of us, much more required. For we are commanded that he who loses his life shall find it. And now we suspect that we must lose our human sense of life altogether and we must become consciously aware that I and that presence are one. And there is no other. This, of course, can cause conflict because it is They demand that we let go of that which we thought we were. Entering that secret place of the Most High, we have now discovered ourself. God is the self that you are. God is the self that I am. God is the only self. And so that presence is what you are. Now that sets up a conflict, because here we thought that for 30, 40, 50, 60 years I was Mary Jones, or I was Bill Skiles, or I was Sarah Smith. Now we have to allow that presence which we are to announce itself, to define itself. We have to awaken to what it is, to what I am. It is here that we discover that to have any personal desire, to have any personal choices, to have any personal dreams, to have a personal family, to have a personal nation, to have a personal life, is part of that self that has to go. Here we discover that dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, dwelling in the presence of our living consciousness, must become a full-time awareness. And so here we begin to enter that inner chamber and have the experience of oneness with the essence that we are. And we have moments where the personal sense of self disappears completely, and only that presence is here. Infinite divine consciousness is what you are. And now we discover that it is not necessary to experience that self, that presence, only during meditation. We discover that that presence floods us even while we are walking around, even while we're talking or working or driving. Even in our sleep, that presence announces itself and sometimes awakens us. We discover that that inner I, that God self, that inner presence is always right here, and that this other sense of self was entirely a dream. We discover that the sense of self that was born has birthdays, is aging, and will die, is not a self at all. We discover that in our moments of silence, in that inner temple, the only self that we have ever been exists, has always existed, and will always exist. We discover that that which I am is. By this time, others will seek us out to discover what it is that we are doing. We cannot tell them yet of this inner self that is them, because that would be giving meat to the babes, and the babes require milk. And so we talk to them about practicing the presence while we keep our finger on our lips about our true identity. We talk to them about prayer and meditation while we at the same time realize that the self of us is the self of them. By now, we have come to realize that the secret place of the Most High is our very own being. That God expressed itself as our very own being. We have periods in our meditation where we don't seek anything. There are no more problems to bring to the door. There's absolutely nothing that we are going into meditation for other than to commune with our own inner self. We may have the experience of being lifted above the conscious awareness of a physical body. We may have the experience of the conscious awareness of our infinite self. We may have flashes of our own omnipresence. And for no reason at all, just to dwell there. Sometimes there is a sense of love that flows out, a sense of peace, and we know that it is God flowing forth to the entire creation. By this time, we may be involved in world work, and that is maintaining the conscious awareness of that presence flowing through to whomsoever will. By this time, we also recognize that that self of us, that inner presence which we have felt in the secret place of the Most High, that self which we are is the self of the tree in my yard. It's the self of my dog and my cat. That self is the self of my spouse, my partner. That self is the self of my children. That self is the self of my neighbor's children. That self which I am, that self which you are, is the self of my enemy. If I have more love for my friend than I have for my enemy, then I am living a human state of consciousness. But by this time, so much of our inner self has been experienced that we know the love I have for this one near to me is exactly the same love as I have for that one over there. And so the lines that we've had begin to dissolve, and the judgments begin to disappear. By now we have become a part of that circle of Christhood, a part of the Great White Brotherhood, which has been spoken of in the past. By now, we have recognized that our oneness with God constitutes our oneness with all spiritual being and idea, whether here, there, on the other side of the veil, in any dimension, wherever spiritual being is, I am. And this becomes a conscious awareness. Now we see that that inner self has come, that they, that is, that self expressed everywhere, that they might have life and life more abundantly. And that that inner I is an instrument through which that life flows. That God will pour forth a blessing as that inner self flowing outward, embracing all that is. It is at this point that we will either step out of this incarnation or decide to remain here in order to fulfill the work that the Father has given us. But whether we are here or whether we are there, our function now will be to be a blessing. I have come that you might be a blessing to all that is. Made in the image and likeness of God, and God is a blessing to all that is, you are a blessing now to all that is. And without even opening your mouth, without uttering a word, your being pours forth a blessing. And just to enter the presence of your consciousness means to be blessed. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That is what that means. You are that beloved one at this state and stage of consciousness. And this stage of consciousness is Christ consciousness. This is the stage of consciousness that was willed for us before the world was. Father, glorify thyself. and it is done. Here is that secret place of the Most High. Here I am, the Living Presence. Here all blessings flow forth to all of humanity, to all of creation, to all that is. I within you bless all. I within you am the blessing now appearing. Once and for all time, you have the roadmap. You know the avenue to travel to the secret place of the Most High. You know how to enter the temple. You know how to rest and receive the movement of the Presence. And you know how to enter that inner chamber and commune with the infinite being that you are. And finally, to you is given the privilege to be a blessing to all mankind. For I, God, have fashioned you that way. For I and you are one. This relationship is an eternal relationship. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It is I. Be not afraid. Do not be afraid to enter the secret place of the Most High. For it is your dwelling place. It is your only true home. Here, in the bosom of the Father, blessings, infinity of blessings.